Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for Beginning of the Week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're here in the still in the octave of Christmas, celebrating the incarnation of our Lord, the celebration of really the King, the creator of all things, enters his creation, and the whole process of salvation reaches its apex as Jesus begins to bring humanity fully into the plan of God. He establishes the kingdom on the earth, and we know we're pointing toward his resurrection, ascension into glory at the right hand of the Father. It's so wonderful to celebrate these things. And to help celebrate it, I brought in a good friend this week, Pete Burax, with us. Pete works with Renewal Ministries. He spearheads our outreach to young adults called ID 916. And he's been on the program before. So welcome, Pete.
Good. Thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah, I thought it'd be kind of a special thing to have you here as we celebrate.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too. And the readings are so good. And I know the Lord's been stirring up a lot in your heart. Why don't you share a little bit about what's been going on with you? Maybe some people who are listening have no idea what ID 916 is or what it means, and sure. Just tell us what it's about. And
yeah, so ID, we exist to help young adults, people in their 20s, 30s, married, single, with or without kids, become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. And we do that by partnering with parishes around, right now, the United States and Canada. We come alongside parish leaders, help equip them and train them and walk with them to become Spirit-filled leaders, and then in the process of that, give them some strategies and structures to begin to reach their peers. Because, you know, there's lots of high school ministries out there, lots of campus ministries, but often kind of a gaping hole in the parish life for this age group. And not just for something for them to do, but to help them actually become disciples, to meet Jesus, to fall in love with him, to begin to share him with others, to have a lifestyle change. You know, we've been talking about this a lot. It's what we're about is not just simply putting on, you know, religious goods and services, a good event where people come and maybe hear something that kind of pricks their conscience or sticks in their head for a little while, but trying to actually help people step into a Jesus life. Being a disciple is to model our lives after the master. And so how does our behavior need to change? How does our mindset need to change? How does our prayer life need to change? How kind of our whole selves to reflect the new life that we have in Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit? And so that's our goal. We've got right around 16 chapters around, like I said, the United States and Canada, and always looking for more places. Our team has expanded in the past year, which has been really exciting. So now it's not just like me and a couple other people trying to do everything. We've got a team to actually execute on these things and just trying to find places where they're hungry to see young adults come alive in the Lord, but maybe need a little help.
As you're describing the intention to help young adults become more consciously surrendered to the Lord, to walking as disciples, living under his lordship, that kind of thing. Just thinking of last week's readings, I'm just amazed. You know, last week shows when we celebrated Christmas on the 25th, and then the readings the next day, it's kind of surprising. You'd think the reading on the 26th would be all focused on the nativity. But what you get is the story of the martyrdom of St. Stephen,
you know,
the first martyr. And what the church in her wisdom, it just moved me when I read it, was to say, yeah, this makes total sense. The king has landed, you know, Jesus, the incarnation is the king has come to establish his kingdom and to gather a people around him, to make disciples, to, you know, to do battle against the enemy and to win souls for God, basically, to win men and women for God and for Christ. And what does that look like? It looks like a life that imitates Jesus. And here Stephen literally imitated Jesus, and Jesus told him it would happen. He told those who followed him, you know, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to be all in. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross, come after me. The world's going to hate you. It's going to resist you, all that kind of stuff. And here Stephen is standing before the leaders of Israel, just like his king did, not long before that, like Jesus did. And he looked right at them all, him against all of them, and he said, you stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You resisted Jesus, and now you're resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. And they ground their teeth, and they picked up stones, and they stoned him. And as he was being martyred, he looks up, and he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
No, it's so beautiful. I mean, it hits so many marks of what it means to be a disciple. It's you pick up your cross and follow me. St. Paul also talks about, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And obviously, in St. Stephen, we see both the theological, spiritual dimension of that. He's standing kind of as a representative of Christ, to the Sanhedrin again. It's interesting, right? Not that long after they had Jesus standing before them, now the man who has been transformed by Jesus is proclaiming basically the same message. And in both his word and then in his action, Stephen bears witness to the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And both in his hope, he's not intimidated by what he's up against. And it fulfills even what Jesus says. He's like, they're going to drag you before, right? Do not be alarmed when people come against you. They came against me. You know, it's like, they hated me, they're going to hate you. All that is, it checks like every box. And so, and to tie it to Christmas, though, it's like, why did God become man? Why did Jesus come? Well, to reveal this new life and to culminate that life in his death and resurrection. Without the death and resurrection, without Easter, Christmas has no meaning. Mm-hmm. And Stephen immediately illustrates that what we celebrated the day before culminates in this, a confrontation between sin and death where, as you said, Jesus is at the right hand, so we win.
Yeah. It's really very, very inspiring. I'm so grateful for the wisdom of the church to kind of keep us focused. And it's right at the beginning of the year. And so right at the beginning of the year, we celebrate the beginning. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son into the world, born of a woman, born on, you know, the law, to basically fulfill the law and to lead us into freedom. And the next day, it's not only the 26th, it's, you can see what it looks like, but then the 27th is the celebration of St. John, the beloved disciple. So the first 2 days after Christmas, you get a picture of two of the most significant witnesses in the New Testament of what it means to be devoted to Jesus, to have enthroned Jesus in your heart, to be his follower, to live his life, and to be just like him. And this is something we just ought to take to heart deeply and say, this is where we're going. So back to what you were saying in terms of what in the ID outreach, you know, the whole purpose of it is to help awaken people in this demographic and hopefully beyond that to the realization of this is what we're called to. Let's help each other do that.
Yeah.
Right? Are we doing it? Are we even there? Are our hearts there? Are we leaning into it in any way? Is this the life we want?
Yeah.
And if it is, let's help each other get there.
In a fullness way, too, one of our kind of core values is we call it like the full gospel all the time. You know, bold proclamation. We want to not just cherry pick the parts of the gospel that are comfortable or that make sense to us, but to be able to proclaim everything that Jesus proclaimed, kind of not add or take away from anything that he revealed to us, both in his preaching in the scripture and then in the teaching of the church throughout the centuries. And to even bring up St. John, you know, one of his major contributions to the church is Revelation, the apocalypse, right? And so it's so interesting, like the temptation for man is always to think temporally, right here and now, and view our lives through the kind of the present moment exclusively. And what Christmas is all about is not only what happened 2,000 years ago and how it impacts us now, but the eternal perspective of what does this event mean for all eternity. And St. John helps us see that through Revelation and through his writings. I mean, all the saints, St. Stephen and any of them, lived with this beautiful eternal perspective that transforms our lives. It transforms suffering, it transforms death, it transforms love, it transforms sin, it transforms all of it when we view our lives through an eternal perspective, not just a temporal one. And God in his love for us helps us see life both as really important for the here and now. It really does matter what life is like today, but it also really matters what's coming. Yeah. And to live in both realities, the Christian, the disciple, Jesus reveals to us how to do what the Father has asked him to do in that moment when he's before the blind man and healing the blind, but then never losing sight of where he's going or what that's going to mean for humanity.
And it's an eternal perspective there you're talking about living in, right? And St. Stephen wasn't standing there saying, hey, wait a minute. Now, I signed up for blessing. Yeah. I mean, I signed up for comfort and encouragement. I signed up for positivity.
Right.
Like, what's going on here? I mean, this is a ripoff. You know, my life is being taken away. I mean, you just see how different disciples look at the world. He understood what was happening was totally normal. Jesus said, I will give you words to speak. And he gave Stephen a lot in that last speech. There's a lot there. It's like two chapters or whatever. He brought it, man. He brought the whole story of salvation and spoke it right to the leaders. And he paid the price of his own life, but he was glad to do it. And he had the grace to do it. He had the grace of God. And I think sometimes the idea of persecution and trial scares us. And we want to back away from anything that would lead to conflict or marginalize us or create some kind of difficulty. I think that's normal. But, and it was normal in the apostles. until the Holy Spirit laid hold of them on a deeper level. And I know in those moments, they received even more special grace
right.
to be able to lose their lives for Christ.
Right. And how was Stephen able to do that? We get hints earlier in Acts where it says, you know, at the end of Pentecost, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. Stephen is built up. He's already saying no to the world. And we don't know exactly what the day-to-day life looked like for those disciples right after Acts, but clearly they established a new rhythm of life that was both in the present moment. They still went to the temple. They yeah. still had to take care of their temporal needs, but something was shifted in them through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the Christ life was born in them in a new way that then in the kind of ultimate moment of witness, Stephen was able to draw upon a deep well of grace that wasn't just in the present moment. The Lord gave him something unique for that moment, but it was also drawing upon a faithfulness of life of living as a disciple to that point. And so you could easily hear this and say, well, I'm not ready to stand before judges and proclaim the whole salvation history to somebody. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly right. We're not yet prepared for that because we're not in that moment. But at the same time, we can be preparing for it because we know that if that moment comes, we want to be able to draw on something that the Lord has already deposited in us along with the thing he'll give us in the moment.
Yeah, if we're living day to day, giving our hearts to him, putting him first in our lives, repenting when we need to, staying close to him, the life, community life, the sacraments, service, mission, and we're just living, we're abiding in Jesus on a daily basis and growing in him, that's how you prepare for a moment like that.
And saying no to the world.
Yeah.
Starting right today to look at the ways, where's the world infesting my heart and my mind? And let's start to root that out now so that when the world rises up to call us to themselves,
yeah.
we've actually got the habit to say no to it.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that. Today's first reading, now speaking of John, still in the octave of Christmas, from 1 John, I just want to grab one paragraph from the first reading at Mass today. It says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the sensual lust, enticement of the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever." There's an apostolic mind. It's a renewed mind. And he understood. Now, he talks about the world. Do not love the world. What is he talking about? He's talking about not God's good creation, the trees and the beautiful things God has made, but the fallen dimension. There's a resistance to the will of God. There's a resistance through political, social, volitional, entertainment. There's all kinds of powers at work in the world that are resisting the kingship of Jesus,
yeah.
that are resisting the authority of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about. And the world will seduce us into a different worldview, a different way of life, make it look really enticing, make it look almost completely irresistible. And we end up then living in the twilight very easily, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, a kind of minimalistic, not even discipleship, but minimalistic Christianity ends up laying hold of people. So we just have less than a minute left. Pete, you have any thoughts? You want to close?
The first way to kind of back away from the world is identify the world's hold on you already. I think sometimes the reason the world wins in our hearts is because we just don't take the time to take an audit of our time, our talent, our treasure. What do we spend our best mental energy on? Where are we giving ourselves? And as you said, it's not about nature or our family or different things that are really, really good, but Netflix and social media and all those other things that can really dig their way in, and unless we identify them, they're going to stay there.
Very good. Maybe tomorrow we can pick up this theme a little bit more clearly, but there's more from the Apostle John, I notice, is looking into the next few days. But Pete, thank you so much for being here. And friends, this is a moment for each one of us to allow the Word of God in the church to communicate to us, what's the road of discipleship? What does it look like? How can we imitate Christ? And the grace is there for each one of us to do it, friends. Let's embrace it and live it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789, that's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or subscribe to our podcast.